April 23, 2021, it's the Watch for Pedro Show. Pedro Show. Happy Friday. Started off with John Coltrane doing Serenity. Then from Brett Goodsight, Elusive Misanthropic Manual?
Manual.
Okay, not manual. Watt was seeing letters that was not there. Or maybe with my good buddy Manuel. But no, it's Manual. Okay. And people, you could tell I'm not man alone, even though Brother Matt's at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point a couple miles south of here because it's still quite quarantine mode. I'm not totally man alone due to those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. I got Mr. Brett Goodsight on board. Welcome.
Good to be here.
Yeah, Brett. So much. Dig so much. And we got to give credit to Brother Evan Lipson for making the connect. So many connects with the powerful and personal expressions using music. Let's get into your journey. Brent, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, let's see. Probably start off with, I've been thinking about this because I listen to your other shows and I know that you asked that question. I guess I inherited my mother's record bin when I was like, 4 years old or whatever. Me and my brother used to play records all the time. And the ones, 45s I remember were, the Beatles, Hey Jude, Del Shannon's Runaway was a big one when I was really little. I don't know why, but I think it's probably that organ solo, that crazy ass organ solo.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Sure. Wasn't the hat.
Yeah, for sure.
I couldn't handle that hat, but he was great. He was great. I think a Brooklyn guy or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You know, in those days, right, TV actors, all that accent, was so strong, and we just took it for granted. Where was this at, Brent?
Born and raised in Flint, Michigan.
Okay, Grand Funk Railroad.
Yep, Grand Funk, exactly.
That's the only time. I've never got to play there. Home of the best water in the country, though.
Oh, yeah.
No, they're going to punish that mayor for that shit. But in the pad you grew up there in Flint, was there musical instruments?
I didn't start playing bass until like my senior year in high school. I got my first bass then.
Bass. All right. I mean, I'm a little partial. Yeah. I'm partial.
Yeah.
I'm partial,
well,
so I want to know about that.
I played bass, so.
Well, tell me how, usually in the old days, you got put on bass, it's like right field in Little League, right? That's where you put your retarded friend and shit. So I'm wondering, what was your connect?
I don't know. It was probably, I just had, really fat fingers and I couldn't play a guitar.
Okay.
But no, I mean, I when I was growing up, I mean, Minutemen were a huge influence on me and Firehose and, bass was just, it just felt, right for me.
You were aware of the movement.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There was something about it, huh? All these cats getting instruments and starting bands. I know. I mean, I got into music to be with D. Boone, but when we saw this thing happening, it was just infectious.
Yeah, it was the whole DIY thing. I mean, SST and, like, all you guys, like, basically influenced everyone in the Midwest, for sure. It's like, once people realized that, you could just get out and do it yourself, it's like, yeah, like, let's do it.
Right. I really think it was about, in some ways, a reaction against arena rock.
Yeah.
Because there's,
I grew up with arena rock, too. It's like, in Flint, there was, like, the one classic rock station that was, Led Zeppelin and CCR and, all of that's, what is considered classic rock now, and basically then I went through a hair metal phase of like, Motley Crue and Crocus and Accept and, those kind of bands. And then, once I discovered punk rock, it was like, it was over.
Can we go back further? What was the first record you bought with your own money?
Oh, first record, Kiss Alive 2.
Okay. That's Michigan.
Yep. Okay. Kiss Alive, too, and then that was followed by the double platinum and then all the solo records. And I think my last Kiss record was Dynasty when they went disco.
It might have been the first Kiss Alive, but one of them was Cobo Hall in Detroit. So what about the first gig you went and saw?
My first concert was in Flint, Michigan. It was Crocus and Accept.
Okay. And what about at school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or any of that shit?
I was in choir, but I was not. I could not sing. I was the technical guy. I was the guy who I was the stage manager for all the plays and stuff.
Sure.
So they needed the stage manager needed to be a part of the choir to be the stage manager. So I basically was in the choir. They put me in the choir even though I couldn't carry a tune to save my life.
Dorothy was told, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, because you had to know all the cues and shit. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, I was the stage manager, and my two best friends were the lighting guys, so it's like it worked out fine. You know, it's right. Like me and my skating buddies were all like backstage.
I'd find it more vital than assistant hair tech.
Definitely.
I think that's probably what Crocus had or something. Yeah. Maybe that was Sunset Strip Band. Going on, okay, your first bass.
First bass, God. I hate to say this, but it was a Hondo.
Crane's first bass from Tragicomedy. His was a Hondo, his first bass. And how did you get it?
It just went into the, you know, it was a birthday present. We went into the local guitar store, and it was like the cheapest one there.
Okay, so your parents are into it.
Yeah, they were.
Okay. Well, sometimes there's a bludge thing there, like, fuck this shit. Okay, what about amp?
God, what was my first amp? Probably just a little crate or a little. No, it was a little Gorilla.
Gorilla. I had a practice amp like that. Now, pawn shop. My first stuff was all like that. And then later the recycler. I know exactly what you're talking about. Now, did you do the thing not after school, like graduate, but in the afternoon? Basement band, the bedroom band, garage band?
Yeah, like all that happened after high school. Basically, when I got to college is when I kind of got serious about playing.
Okay, after classes in college, you do the little band, right, with cats at school or cats in your town?
Yep, exactly. My roommate was in a band who actually opened up for Firehose. And basically, at that point, all I wanted to do was, like, I just want to have a band that plays at the local, you know, the bar. The Club Soda was the local bar in Kalamazoo where I went to college.
Oh, okay. I remember that place. Club Soda, right. And I remember the State Theater with the Melvins. And Kalamazoo used to be a regular stop.
That's the film my roommate played.
I mean, you go on that. Okay. Because that interstate going across Southern Michigan used to have a bunch of gigs on it, right, I-94, from Grand Rapids all the way to fucking D-Town and K-Town there.
Halfway between Detroit and Chicago, so all the bands stopped in Kalamazoo.
But if I got my geography right, Brent, Flint is way northeast of that, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You went to college in Kalamazoo.
North of Detroit, basically.
You went to, northeast of Detroit. So you went to college in Kalamazoo?
Yeah, I went to college.
Because they built Gibson guitars there for a long time until they moved to Nashville. Now, this band you got in, what were they called and what was the first gig?
My first band was a band called Pencil Neck. And we just kind of played. Basically, it was like the same group of people. We had two bands. One was called Liminal. And one was called Pencil Neck. And Liminal was an ambient band where we played like just really droney, long form droney stuff. And Pencil Neck was more, more like John Zorn's Naked City. With a lot of like, you know, genre shifting and like fast cuts and, you know, different, you know.
That's funny you say genre because it seems like these are the same guys just in two different bands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. So it's like you had so much shit going on, one band couldn't handle it. So you had to make another band. Yeah. But you're already at the point of like, fuck genre, we want to just make music.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, man, to bust that Berlin Wall in your brain. I wish I could just take a fucking sledgehammer to it, but it takes a lot. It took a lot for me to get free of that fucking nonsense. So, tell me about the first Pencil Neck gig. Did Liminal do gigs?
Yeah. We used to play. We had this. There's a gallery at Western Michigan's campus, the East Hall Gallery.
Yeah.
It's a huge, like a octagon room, double, like two floors. And I knew the person who had the keys to it, And it was kind of, it was closed down. It was basically at the time was just, it was where the, all the professors had their art studios. So on the weekends we would, she'd hand me the keys and I'd, you know,
repurpose.
We'd go in and we'd play, you know, and it didn't matter if there was an audience kind of thing. And like we'd advertise it and there'd be a small audience, but you know, we'd basically play and like nobody would really know about it. And it was like against, you know, we couldn't do it legally with the university because they wouldn't let us have it, but we would sneak in there and do it. So
yeah. Ingenuity. Look, Brent, I want to play Piano Motor Skills number 2.
Right on.
Big truck, small wiener.
Yeah, we just gotta go to a bank.
Yeah, go to a...
This is my gene.
Yeah, you go to the bank as well.
Now step out of your vehicle.
Legion Square?
Legion,
no,
yeah.
Fuck that.
We can do Legion.
Yeah?
Is your vehicle dirty?
I mean, yes, I didn't hear anything. I don't even know. It was like a heat in the moment type thing. Like, Vinny said on the radio that there were cops outside, but I didn't know they were actually in the fucking alleyway. You know?
We're getting
so when I got out.
I got on site here.
Who
trying to get shot on site with that mask right there, or what?
You don't mean us, correct?
No, I mean, if someone is...
We should just be the copycat crew, all fucking same masks, and that we just do the nose.
But at the same time,
go ahead and pull
dude. Alongside him.
Hello, you can move.
Well, if you want to stay, you can
stay. Bro,
have
you seen my alien mask? Bro, I'm just bringing that brand.
Park at little.
Yeah.
Need to alien.
Nah, you okay?
No, I had an accident.
Oh, cool. You can talk shit about whoever you want to besides me. Obviously joking, don't do that, but, yeah.
I think he was going to go up. If he wasn't looking for, like, the body, he was going to...
Oh, if you were in the fucking...
Coworker just ordered pizza. Pizza party!
Excuse me, boys.
And I have
your
money.
Chat life is on the line. I know that means a lot to you.
I have 4,000 plants. I don't have any. How much? There's literally nothing.
Crazy. Just sign up. Just to clarify, Spade 777. What are you talking about? You talking about someone else?
About the car is gonna spruce.
And staked out the entire fucking thing and waited for anybody to leave.
Sending the fire hose. That's what comes to mind.
Just like, you know, that's just
get them out of the fucking fire truck.
Do I interrupt?
Yeah.
Let me know when you want me to take that out for a ride.
Yo.
It's too cheap.
I want
to fucking, God damn it. Remember when plastic used to be worth fucking...
Oh, yeah, dude. Where are we going right now?
Copy, we're trying. Okay.
Get out of
the fire.
Okay.
Is there a way out from here?
Yep.
I will get out. Don't put the gun away.
Rami, I think what we need to do. What I'm thinking we need to do is get all your shit out of that house just for the time.
Don't want to have this part come out.
Why the fuck would I get out?
Because he asked you to get out of the vehicle.
Yeah.
He's gonna go up on top of there, and he was just gonna like wait for them. He's gonna like look for them.
Yeah. Why don't we be safe and sorry? Get everything to the south side.
I would imagine they are
legal. Yeah,
they
are legal.
You put the.
So let me put 10K.
I fucking yoinked like 7K off the cops.
Dude, that's sick. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I wouldn't go around the beach.
Pass the aspirator aqui rapidinho.
I know, it definitely is.
He was
who
like,
put the gun down here? They're gonna take off and spray one of our vehicles.
If I was gonna take off, I would have done. Get up out of the DL. Easily. Well, I've got to take your
vehicle.
Impound that helicopter.
It's not like I'm hiding anything. I bought it my own name. There's nothing illegal in there. Other than
the way
it's oxy.
We got a killer pistol.
Make sure the vehicle with you, Bo?
Oh, my baby's back to life again. Oh my god, look how dead this is.
No, Bo, get out.
We won't charge you, Bo, but next time you do it, it will be a chargeable offense.
I'm gonna go in there and cover.
Yeah, but
I had a flashing Weber and...
They did.
Yeah,
fire truck
it is.
How do we do it from the air? Do we do it
from the
sky?
I gotta go all the way to Benny's and do this.
Beautiful. 485, be transitioning the call sign. Uh, 505 en route.
I knew there was a second guy in there because it just kept going.
587.
Hold his gun. You get the fuck out. He's blasting smithereens right there. What do you think?
Oh wait, error sky. Do we do it from the ground or do we do it from the ground?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
4-1 coming.
Hey,
I was gonna use it yesterday, but
maybe I need to do it as bleed.
You know that guy, but you can sell like one for 50.
On the ground.
I don't know if the security car is gonna change the color or not.
Sure.
Take the words that you wear and scare them away. waiting for a breakthrough. All those cries will descend, you fall and you spend. I'm never gonna let you.
Wasted blueprints only half the man.
Watch from Pedro show. We just heard that chunk of music start off with Brett Goodsight. With it. Now, this wasn't the whole tune. I don't know why he only wanted to give us an excerpt.
it's like a 20-minute track.
Yeah, that's all right, man. On Watch from Pedro show, the guest holds sway. But anyway, you didn't want to give our brains too much weight to take. So that was an excerpt from Piano Motor Skills number 2. Then brand new out of Helvetia, New Mess. Brand new from Hand Model, Third Planet. Bombus Prendon with Square One. Door with his Network Glass out of Baltimore with 512. This cat, man, I can't believe what he cooks up. And then Everyone. I love that word. You Wear It Like Smoke. Yeah, this is a project mentioned. But then, of course, you're talking about your first two projects. What becomes of Pencil Neck and Liminal?
Well, that group, basically,
I gotta apologize, Brent. I gotta apologize because I ain't playing Pencil Neck or Liminal till the third hour because I didn't know the chronology. So, kind of fucked up there, but hey, that's showbiz. So, go on, I'm sorry.
Those two bands, three of us went on to form TV POW, which is a band that is still now together. And, that basically, after I graduated from college, I moved to Tokyo, and then was followed by Mike, the other guy from TV POW, and we basically started playing there, and then came back, and when I came back, we moved to Chicago, and we formed a trio with Todd Carter, who was also in Liminal and Pencil Neck. So basically, it's just kind of like, because Liminal and Pencil Neck used to have like 7 or 8 people, depending on who was in town at any given time. And TV POW is just a trio.
Okay.
So.
Now, how long in Tokyo?
On and off for like 6 years.
And live house scene?
And what's that?
Live house scene?
Yeah. Basically, I went there originally. I got a scholarship on my way out of college and basically just stayed there. I was supposed to go there for like 2 weeks to study with a ceramicist, like a famous ceramicist, and basically did that for 2 weeks and then moved to Tokyo. And my friend, I knew someone there who had an apartment, and you know, it just kind of worked out. Everything kind of fell into place, and eventually found a job at a bar and started playing shows. I met Otomo Yoshihide there and, you know, different people, and just kind of got into the scene.
Chicago guy Jim O'Rourke, he lives about 70 miles west of Tokyo now. And, he learned the language in 1 year.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I know Jim pretty well.
Okay. Ceramic, the big town, Tajimi, huh? But near Nagoya. I was reading some history like 500 years ago. They were like kidnapping guys from Korea to teach shit. Hilarious. But beautiful, beautiful stuff. And a little too crowded for me, but the energy. And I have a lot of Japanese musician friends, and kind of hard to be a musician there. So the focus, it's very inspiring, those guys. I got buddies in a band called Light, and they're beautiful. But you come back, and over there you had a band?
Yeah, basically, I met up with Otomo Yoshihide and was playing with him in a few different gigs. And then we played with Melt Banana, and played with, when I first moved there, I was really into Japanese noise, the noise scene.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what TV POW was, more of a noise band rather than a rock band. And so when I first moved there, I figured, oh, well, Japanese noise is so big in America, it's got to be huge in Japan. And nobody knew anything about Japanese noise. It was crazy.
You know about Kaoru Abe?
So we basically just kind of got, hooked up with the people there. And
Brent, you know about Kaoru Abe, sax man?
Oh, yeah, Kaoru Abe, yeah.
Kind of free jazz, right? Well, yep. His wife, Izumi Suzuki, she's got her first book has been translated to English.
Oh, wow.
Terminal Boring. It comes out this next month, or maybe at the end of this month.
And, oh, wow. Check that out.
Yeah, because, like you said, very small scenes. But, I mean, that I think about punk in Hollywood in the 70s. Jesus, same 100 faces, right? Sometimes that's not a bad thing because you don't have to worry about pandering.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We were playing at the same exact little tiny live rooms that Corey Abbey was playing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, those dudes, like, we were playing the same places. It was just like, wow. And, like, nobody there knew or cared. You know, it was just like, this is so historic to me and, like, so amazing. And, like, everyone there was like, yeah, I don't know who that is.
Because like, people...
What are you talking about?
It's so close to take it for granted. Look, I belong to the San Pedro Bay Historical Society. Now, I was born in Virginia and came here when I was 9. But I know more about this town than dudes living here. It's because of that, you know. Sometimes people take for granted, you know, and they don't want they ain't suffering from the disease of being curious.
Yeah,
you know, that shit happens. That shit happens. But the rich tradition though of letting the freak flag fly, I tell you, man. I mean, you know, he was a cousin of that guy who sang. Well, we called it sukiyaki. It was fucking stupid. You know, I hold my eyes to the sky so the tears don't fall down. But we call it sukiyaki. He was killed in a plane crash, but they were cousins. Anyway, back to your story. So, were you doing bass in Tokyo?
Yeah. I had a bass there.
Well, but it seems like you take a musical, an instrumental switch.
Yeah. I mean, it basically just, I mean, bass or laptop. Basically, it all kind of like turned to a laptop.
Yeah. Tell me about how that happened.
It's just easier to carry around.
We got Class D amps now, and fuck, I got a bass box from Barefaced in Brighton, 1200 watt, 212, 40 pounds it weighs.
Wow.
But I know it still ain't a crap top. I mean, but Mac proofs. but yeah, I can understand that. So. It was just a practicality.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, the first couple times we were there, you know, I was playing bass and we were doing, playing as a duo, just drums and bass. And, I was actually singing a couple times, which was the first time I had ever sung in my entire life or even thought about singing. Like, I remember a show, we did, with Melt Banana opening for us. And it was like the first time I had ever sang in my life, and it was like, okay, I'm gonna sing tonight. Like, so that's what we did, you know, without any practice or, you know, we had like one day practice and went into it the next day, headlined a show, you know, that kind of dude.
Yeah, but I think that's fucking happening. That's what the movement's about, you know.
Yep.
She who dares.
Yep. And, go on, do it, you know.
Right. Nope. Right.
If you don't do it, no one else is gonna, you know, hand it to you. So.
You know, and it's funny, too, about nature. You know, a farmer would tell you, if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure.
Exactly. And
bring it, motherfuckers. Exactly. Right. I mean, to be a little blunt. But look, we're at the end of the first hour, April 23, 2021 edition, Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Brett Goodsight. Hold tight for hour two. April 23, 2021. It's the second hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
It's a sort of martyr-like self-negation coming from a place of extreme frustration. And it's a kind of curse you carry with you. And curse is the right word. I'll just sit down for a spell. And somewhere there's a list of authors. That I have never read. Here we go again. To love yourself. Thank you.
from Pedro Show start off the second hour. Brett Goodsight and Mike Shiflett. So he's part of the trio, right?
No, Mike is a...
Oh, it's another Mike.
Yeah, he's from Columbus.
Okay.
Columbus dude.
Right, the only state with a pennant, not a flag, people. So we started off with Detroit to Flint, Brett Goodsight, Mike Shiflett, the wrong one, not the Chicago Mike. Ben Salter from Tasmania after that with To Completion. Gecko from Justice Yeldon in Sydney. Brand new Bronze Age UFO. I just found this. It was just done maybe a couple weeks ago from Baltimore. Plug Nickel, singular, on the dime. And then finally, Wheaton Research. More tangible values. That's intriguing. So tell me about, is there a big diff between making music with the bass and the crap top?
I don't know. It's not as musical, I guess, with the laptop to me. I mean, it's more, my musical sensibility has moved more towards just pure sounds. And a lot of, these days I do a lot of field recording. And, you know.
Oh, you're using like I use Pro Tools, like a tape recorder.
Yeah.
So you're not really using virtual instruments and using MIDI to fire off other stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's the whole thing. Like TV POW early on became known as a laptop band, and we never really were like heavy into the, you know, the programming and all that, you know, so we're more into like just, you know, a lot of sample based stuff, a lot of, you know, field recordings and just stuff that we sampled and recorded, and we'd combine a lot of different sounds, and, you know, it's more a collage work.
I think we're, because it's kind of pejorative now, laptop band, right? I think it was the performances, watching guys sit at a table and hit the space bar, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not as good as an Elvis Presley gig or a Kiss gig, right? Not as much Paul Stanley charisma. Or...
No.
Yeah. So maybe that's why. But because, you know, at the end of the day, again, it's what's coming out of the speakers. You shouldn't care how it gets there, I think. And, in fact, I'll tell you a great field recording story is that, you know, Cabaret Voltaire had three dudes. And one guy left to join the BMC, the Watson guy. I remember his name.
Yeah, Chris Watson.
Right. Well, I remember him because Tom Watson, you know, am I missing it? But he, that's what he turned into, a field recording guy. And there's a lady in I think she's from Nagoya, or she's teaching at school there, a university, Sawako, and her thing is all about field recordings. And there is something about a musicality, you know, who was that guy in New York City that was doing him just hanging a microphone out on the street, right?
John Hudak?
Yeah.
There's
a document side to that. There's a document side of that, but I also think there's a musical expression side of that. That's fucking way happening. I'll record shit like my first opera has all kinds of sounds of Pedro on it.
Yeah.
I want to play, and then I want to get into some of these projects here like Wheaton Research shit. But I want to play TV POW since you've been talking about it. This band might.
Thank you. woman who is short of breath and dizzy.
Come on. All of the way those stars are
Watt from Pedro Show, TV Pal, the sky was never blue, and then Eternal Return with the sky. I thought they kind of went together. Ramon Moro out of Italy with Walking Towards Farewell, trumpet man. But he's investigating field recording and stuff. And had him on the show last month. Brett Goodsight with Pharmacoustic, the the prosperity of melancholy. Propensity. Fucking Watt learned how to read. Okay, tell us about some of these projects here, Brent, like Wheaton Research.
Wheaton Research, that is my solo project. That was probably before I even had a band. That was more like just doing noise, solo noise project with like tapes and various, you know, a lot of pedals, stuff like that.
When you say tapes, like cassette?
Yeah, cassette tapes, yeah.
Okay. No, we've had a lot of Al Margolis was on the show. And
oh, yeah.
Man, what a hero that man. And build a culture around it, right?
Yep, the whole cassette culture, man.
Right,
that's
right.
That's Pharmacoustic that you just played. He's an older dude from Germany that was really big in the cassette culture back in the 80s as well.
Okay.
Actually, the first track you played, I think, today is coming from a release that's going to be coming out soon on Emmett Kelly's record label, new record label, on a cassette tape. That is a release with Al Margolis. So,
Kelly was on the show a couple of months ago. Great cat. Guitar man. Oh, Chicago. Ah, okay. I'm starting to understand the connect a little bit. Okay. I was conceived in China. I was born in Virginia, but conceived there. That's a big, what do they call the town? Big shoulders.
Yep.
Big fucking shoulders. And that's true. Okay. What about Everyone? My favorite band name.
Everyone is a group that started with me, Ben Vita, and Tim Kinsella from Joan of Arc. And basically, Tim used to be a bartender at the Rainbow, and it'd be basically like me and Ben would go in there in the afternoon and just hang out with Tim, and we'd listen to records and stuff before it got busy and everything. And we just decided, hey, let's just start a band. And then once it kind of got to a, you know, kind of like once we kind of got some songs, we asked Chris Connolly to join us to be a singer. And I used to work with him at the record store at Reckless, and he's amazing. And then Liz Payne, who's also in a band called Town and Country with Ben Vita. So it basically kind of just formed into this new style band with all these different influences from different bands, you know.
Which is healthy. Now, we're not talking the Rainbow on Sunset Boulevard where Nikki Sixx and Lemmy.
No. Rainbow in Chicago. Mint Vision.
Okay. Rainbow Club. Just a little bit to the port. Is our Sunset. I think it was called the Bar and Grill. Rainbow Bar and Grill on Sunset Boulevard next to the Roxy. One time I was bringing an amplifier out of the Roxy. They share a driveway. And a Hollywood sheriff put the gun on the end of my nose.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And also, I can't put my hands up. I'm holding his box. He smells some hash. Well, it's legal now, so those things. But it went to court and shit, and the judge said he had a problem with that officer. So don't deal with it on the street, people, but maybe in the courtroom.
Yeah.
Lesson to be learned. So it's trippy how you didn't care about what kind of, bands you came from, what kind of. Music was music, and you just wanted to see what was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best thing about Chicago, at least, you know, when in the 90s and in the late 90s, 2000s, like, Chicago was just, like, a huge melting pot of music in musicians, you know, and you could just play with any band, and, like, there was no real, you know, nobody really cared about, you know, oh, we're going to be a popular band, you know, it's just like, let's just jam and have fun. And it was like, you know, everybody knew everybody else. So it was like, you know, I couldn't, you know, the fact that I was playing with Chris Connolly was outrageous to me because, I mean, he was the singer from Ministry who I used to listen to in high school, and then, like, here it is, like, you know, a few years later, and he's in my band. You know, it's just like, what?
Well, you know, they went through some tricks, the guys in that band. The first album, they're, like, totally waving it with the poodle haircuts and capes. You know? Now, I got to tell you, there was an exodus. We got Johnny Machine living out here now. David Yao, they're all, like, Claremont, Montclair, Altadena, the old dairy country. Yep. Northeast L.A., yeah, east of Pasadena. And for a while, we had the other drummer man, Johnny Man. He's up more, maybe he's in Oregon now, maybe he's in Portland. But, Mr. Parker came over here, too. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they're all, that's the thing. They're all friends of mine, you know. That's the thing. From Chicago, it's like, I think everybody just moved out west. It's like Emmett moved out.
Right, that too. But, I think he's in the valley, though. But you said important word. You said 90s.
So things, well, late 90s.
Yeah, things have changed, right?
Yep.
Okay. Sometimes that happens. What do they call it? Exodus.
Yeah. Like,
open up the river. No, I think it might have been a weather thing. It's just a guess, but I know that's why I stayed in Pedro. You know, I came here because of the Navy and my papa machinist mate, but it does spoil you like a mother. I could kayak on New Year's Day.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour, but nothing against Chicago. Beautiful place, man, beautiful place. April 23, 2021, edition WAP Pedro Show, special guest Brent Goodsight, hold tight, fire, freak! April 23, 2021. It's the third hour of the Lot for Pedro. Thank you. Watch for Pedro show. We start third hour off with Dead Branch, The Days of Haze, and that's for Rye. Then Waku Waku Kingdom, this is Brother Shige out of Berlin with Oh It's Good, something live. Then Pants Exploder, Brooklyn, right? What's the studio? Brother Steve McKay used to record. Seizure's Palace, love that name. A Bus to Alaska, Pants Exploder, Brother Jason. Pencil Neck, here we go. Actually, it wasn't your first music thing. The tapes was and stuff. And did that ever have a name, that proj?
That was the tape project?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Wheaton Research.
Oh, that was Wheaton Research. Okay, and it's still going on? Is it still something that you put on hold? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I still put out Wheaton Research.
And where does Wheaton come from?
Wheaton was the street that I lived at in Kalamazoo.
Ah!
And we basically had a basement where every day there would be someone downstairs jamming.
Back to the lab without a mic to grab.
Yeah.
And then I had
one of those houses.
Rhymes I had.
Party house.
Then I add all the rhymes I had, one after another one. And then I ask if the brother's done. I'm thinking of Rakim. I just saw something where George Clinton was reciting some Rakim. Man, that guy. I follow the leader. Incredible. Yeah, painful. Okay, a bag for bags. Sounds like a Groucho. You grab the bags. Okay, you know. Groucho joke, right? But that's bitching that you did that, because that gives it a point of reference, you know?
Yeah.
And that, I think, is kind of important. Kalamazoo is always going to be with you, you know, even though it was just a part of your life, probably. It's got some kind of like Pedro benefit for you.
Yeah, I was there 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And very productive, right? You're meeting all kinds of cats and doing music and being creative. I want to play Dolene Karst.
That's my California group.
Okay.
My LA group.
And Colé? Is this how you say the title?
Yep. Okay. Yep, In Colé.
Let's listen.
切りすずめ。昔昔、あるところに、おじいさんとおばあさんがいました。子供がないものですから、おじいさんは、すずめの子を一羽大事にして、かごに入れて飼っていました。ある日、おじいさんはいつものように山へしばかりに、おばあさんは井戸端で洗濯をしていました。その洗濯に使う糊をおばあさんが台所へ忘れていった留守に、すずめの子がちょろちょろかごから出て、糊を残らず舐めてしまいました。おばあさんが海苔を取りに帰ってきますと、お皿の中は空っぽ。海苔をみんなスズメが舐めてしまったことがわかると、大層怒って小さなスズメを捕まえて、無理に口をこじ開け、この舌がそんな悪さをしたのか、と言って、ハサミで舌をちょん切って、てしまいました。そして、さあ、どこへでも出て行け、と言って放り出しました。スズメは悲しそうな声で、痛い、痛い、と泣きながら飛んで行きました。夕方になって、おじいさんは芝を背負って山から帰ってきて、はあ、くたびれた。スズメもお腹がすいただろう。さあさあ、餌をやりましょう。と言い、かごの前へ行ってみますと、中にはスズメはいませんでした。おじいさんは驚いて、おばあさん、おばあさん、スズメはどこへ行ったのだろう。と言いますと、おばあさんは、スズメですか。あれは私の大事な糊を舐めたから、舌を切って追い出してしまいましたよ、と言いました。ああ、かわいそうに、ひどいことをするなあ、とおじいさんは、がっかりして言いました。あくる日、おじいさんは、スズメが舌を切られてどこへ行ったか心配でたまりませんので、夜が明けると早速出かけて行きました。みちみち、杖をついて、舌切りスズメ、おやどはどこだ、チュンチュンチュンと呼びながら、あてもなく尋ねて歩きました。野を越えて、山を越えて、また野を越えて、山を越えて、大きな藪のあるところへ出ました。すると、藪の中から、舌切りスズメ、お宿はここよ、チュンチュンチュン、という声が聞こえました。おじいさんは喜んで、声のする方へ歩いて行きました。やがて藪の陰にかわいらしい赤いお家が見えて、舌を切られたスズメが門を開けてお迎えに出ていました。まあおじいさん、よくいらっしゃいました。おうおう、無事でいたかい。あんまりお前が恋しいので尋ねてきましたよ。まあ、それはありがとうございました。さあ、どうぞこちらへ。こう言って、スズメはおじいさんの手を取って、うちの中へ案内しました。スズメはおじいさんの前に手をついて、おじいさん、黙って大事な糊を舐めて、申し訳ございませんでした、 それをお怒りもなさらずに、ようこそ尋ねてくださいました。と言いますと、おじいさんも、なんの私がいなかったばかりに、とんだかわいそうなことをしました。でもこうしてまた会えたので、本当に嬉しいよ、と言いました。スズメは、兄弟や友達のスズメを残らず集めて、おじいさんの好きなものをたくさんごちそうして、面白い歌に合わせて、みんなでスズメ踊りを踊ってみせました。おじいさんは大層喜んで、うちへ帰るのも忘れてしまいました。そのうちにだんだん暗くなってきたものですから、おじいさんは、今日はおかげで一日面白かった。日の暮れないうちに、どれおいとましましょうと言って立ちかけました。スズメは、まあこんなむさ苦しいところですけれど、今夜はここへ泊まっていらっしゃいましな、と言ってみんなで引き止めました。せっかくだがおばあさんも待っているだろうから、今日は帰ることにしましょう。またたびたび来ますよ。それは残念でございますこと。ではお土産を差し上げますから、しばらくお待ちくださいまし。と言って、スズメは奥からつづらを二つ持ってきました。そして、おじいさん、重いつづらに軽いつづらです。どちらでもよろしい方をお持ちください。と言いました。どうもごちそうになった上、お土産までもらってはすまないが、せっかくだからもらって帰りましょう。だが私は年をとっているし、うちも遠いから、軽い方をもらっていくことにしますよ。こう言って、おじいさんは軽いつづらを背負わせてもらって、じゃあさようなら、また来ますよ。お待ち申しております。どうか気をつけてお帰りくださいまし。と言って、スズメは門のところまでおじいさんを送って出ました。日が暮れてもおじいさんがなかなか戻らないので、おばあさんは、どこへ出かけたのだろう。とぶつぶつ言っているところへ、お土産のつづらを背負っておじいさんが帰ってきました。おじいさん、今頃までどこで何をしていたんですか。まあそんなに大怒りでないよ。今日はスズメのお宿へ訪ねて行って、たくさんごちそうになったり、スズメ踊りを見せてもらったりした上に、この通り立派なお土産をもらってきたのだよ。こう言ってつづらを下ろすと、おばあさんは急にニコニコしながら、まあそれはようございましたね。一体何が入っているのでしょう。と言って、早速つづらの蓋を開けますと、中から目の覚めるような金銀サンゴや宝珠の玉が出てきました。それを見るとおじいさんは得意げに言いました。スズメは重いつづらと軽いつづらを二つ出して、どちらがいいと言うから、私は年をとっているし、うちも遠いから、 軽いつづらにしようと言ってもらってきたんだが、こんなにいいものが入っていようとは思わなかった。するとおばあさんは急にまた膨れ面をして、バカなおじいさん、なぜ重い方をもらってこなかったのです。その方がきっとたくさんいいものが入っていたでしょうに。まあそう欲張るものではないよ。これだけいいものが入っていればたくさんではないか。どうしてたくさんなものですか。これから言って私が重いつづらの方ももらってきます。と言っておじいさんが止めるのも聞かず、あくる日の朝になるまで待ちきれないので、すぐに家を飛び出しました。もう外は真っ暗になっていましたが、おばあさんは欲張った一心で、むちゃくちゃに杖を突き立てながら、下切りすずめ、お宿はどこだ、チュン、チュン、ちゅんと言い、尋ねて行きました。野を越え、山を越えて、また野を越えて、山を越えて、大きな竹やぶのあるところへ来ますと、やぶの中から、下切りすずめ、お宿はここよ、ちゅんちゅんちゅんという声がしました。おばあさんは、閉めたと思って、声のする方へ歩いて行きますと、舌を切られたスズメが、今度も門を開けて出てきました。そして優しく、まあおばあさんでしたか、よくいらっしゃいました、と言って、うちの中へ案内しました。そして、さあどうぞお上がりくださいまし、とおばあさんの手を取ってお座敷へあげようとしましたが、おばあさんはなんだかせわしそうにきょときょと見回してばかりいて、落ち着いて座ろうともしませんでした。いいえ、お前さんの無事な顔を見れば、それで用は済んだのだから、もうかまっておくれでない。それよりか、早くお土産をもらって、おいとましましょう。いきなりお土産の催促をされたので、スズメはまあ欲の深いおばあさんだと呆れてしまいましたが、おばあさんは平気な顔で、さあ早くしてくださいよとじれったそうに言うものですから、はいはい、それではしばらくお待ちくださいまし、今お土産を持ってまいりますから、と言って奥からつづらを二つ出してきました。さあそれでは重い方と軽い方と二つありますから、どちらでもよろしい方をお持ちください。それは無論、重い方をもらっていきますよ。というなり、おばあさんは、重いつづらを背中に背負い上げて、挨拶もそこそこに出て行きました。おばあさんは、重いつづらを守備よくもらったものの、それでなくても重いつづらが背負って歩いていくうちに、どんどん、どんどん重くなって、さすがに強情なおばあさんも、もう肩が抜けて腰の骨が折れそうになりました。それでも、重いだけに、その分宝が余計入っているのだから、本当に楽しみだ。 一体どんなものが入っているのだろう。ここらでちょいと一休みして、試しに少し開けてみよう。こう独り言を言いながら、道端の石の上に、どっこいしょと腰をかけて、つづらを下ろして、急いで蓋を開けてみました。すると、どうでしょう。中から目のくらむような金銀サンゴと思いきや、三つ目小僧だの、一つ目小僧だの、我慢入道だの、いろいろなお化けがにょろにょろにょろにょろ飛び出して、この欲張りババアと言いながら、怖い目をしてにらめつけるやら、気味の悪い舌を出して顔をなめるやらするので、もうおばあさんは生きた心地はしませんでした。大変だ、大変だ、助けてくれ、とおばあさんは金切り声を上げて助けを求めましたが、お化けたちに食い殺されてしまいました。
from Pedro Show. Last music for this episode, or edition, that's what I call it. Episode sounds like Batman or such. This edition of what Pedro Show. Doleen Karst in Cole. And then few reading Shirakiri Susumi. Some few song goes way back. Osaka punk scene. You know, Osaka
yeah,
always.
Awesome.
You know, right? Because
yeah, I saw her the first when I first moved to Tokyo. I saw a few shows. It was like my first show I saw there.
Well, she moved to Tokyo and stuff, but originally, what was it called? Aunt Sally? Because there was a big divide, right? Tokyo's fashion punk, Osaka's real punk.
Yeah, and, yeah. Osaka's the attitude.
Right.
And also, all the comedians come from Osaka.
I was going to say, the whole two-man kind of comedian thing with the straight guy and the. That's all yep. their thing. And they, in fact, they got, I could tell an Osaka dude. They have a way of holding themselves and talking. Like the Light yep. Brothers had a sound man named Gooch. And you could just tell. Not so monochrome. Yeah, Osaka's maybe they're big shoulder kind of compared
yeah,
to
yeah.
like.
They're more like a Midwest
yeah, right.
kind of attitude.
Now tell me about Doleen Karst, this California band. Not having to live in California.
That's a group, basically I was out in LA in 2018 and, basically there's this young lady, let's just call her V and, or Victoria. And, she has a group or her group, her solo project is called Useless Wing. And I had come across her music on YouTube and my friends, kind of introduced me to her and I basically went out there to play show, but then also really wanted to like record a, you know, record with her because I really enjoyed her music. And then, and that's what kind of what we did. I played a show and then she came up and played like the last half of the show. And then we had like two different days of recording while I was out there. So,
Were you like kind of the side man, or is it a, or is she helping you, or is it 50-50?
It's, well, she plays bass through a lot of effects and then sings, and then I was playing basically my laptop and then just cassette tapes through a little amplifier. So,
now, there's a connect with the bass there, so do you ever well, you want to play it like this?
I don't know.
You know, like if you're going to play drums in Dave Grohl's band, right? Dave Grohl knows how to play drums. Right? Well, he had one guy, right? What? I guess he recorded all over him, right? I know how to play the drum. Okay. I'm just putting it out there. So you not only got some shows, you got some stuff out of it, and this is one of the tunes, right? So it's
yep,
just,
yep.
Okay.
That's a tune that's on a compilation that I put out on my label, and then we have an upcoming a cassette tape coming out on Korea Undot Group.
Okay, label. So let's hear about your label. When did that happen?
I've had a bunch of different labels pretty much from day one. From started off with Gentle Giant Records, and then I had a label called Box Media, and a label called Trust Lost. And then now my label is called Jimmy, J-M-Y.
Now, Gentle Giant, wasn't that an England band?
Yeah, that was a prog group, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was, you named the label after them?
Well, I wasn't the one who named it. Tom Dieter, it was originally his label, and then me and Mike Hartman kind of joined forces with him once we got back from Tokyo. Because basically when we got back from Tokyo, I record every concert I go. I'm the guy that you'd see with a recorder holding up in the middle of the crowd, you know. Back
right.
before everyone had phones and all that, I was the guy holding the recorder because I was just obsessed with recording all the shows I could see. So when I was in Tokyo, I just recorded everything. So when I came back, I had so many new, you know, I discovered so many crazy bands in Tokyo that nobody had ever heard of in the States. So we put out a compilation called The Miracle of Levitation, and, you know, it kind of, like, just went from there.
So it began as being, like, kind of an archiver.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm basically a radio DJ from day one as well. So it's like I've always been recording stuff and play. It's all about, you know, DJing, you know, playing music that nobody's ever heard and that kind of stuff. So,
well, you're turning them on. That's heard once you fucking play it.
Yeah.
Now, I forgot to mention Liminal, the last tune for the show, people. Now, this is a title. 0416942124 20. And with all those dots in between. Almost like an IP number. Okay. Liminal. So this goes way back, and I'm playing it at the end of the show, but fuck. Sorry. Lo siento. Going that side. Yeah. Fucking idiot. So why do you end one label and then start another? Is it like a band? Like this ran out of gas, now time to start a new one?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, basically, Gentle Giant, I kind of had to leave. I don't know.
I guess these like labels.
I quit Gentle Giant, and then they kind of petered out. And then when I had Box Media with another guy, and then bankrupt.
This is what it is. They're collaborations. They're not just your label. So yeah, when one of the parties, yeah, I understand now. I thought they were all like just your label, and you know, like Halloween every year, I'm wearing a different costume. You know that kind of
thing. Yeah. Well, Trust Lost and Jimmy are my that those are just me.
Okay.
So that's just my label. I basically just came down to like, you know, it you know the biggest problem always has been money. So it's, you know, I'm a terrible businessman. So like Box Media eventually just ran out of money and we just couldn't do it anymore. So
understood. But that didn't keep you out of the ring. You're not over the ropes. Yeah, you're not over the ropes. You're still going. And in fact, the next thing coming out, you said, is a compilation.
Yeah. I mean, I've got two different compilations coming out next week. Okay. No, 2 weeks from now.
And where can people find you on the internet, Brent?
My page that where you can find all my different contacts is brentgutzeit.blogspot.com. But you could go to the Jimmy Bandcamp, which is just Jimmy, what is it? Jimmy Music.
Yeah, but spell it, because it's trippy.
Yeah, let me see here. Seems like I forgot what it is. It's JMY. Or you can just go to brentgutzeit.bandcamp.com.
Okay. And that's BrentGutzeit.
Yep.
Because I want you to hear this man's music. It's beautiful. I love it. It's been a big honor. As you get develop more stuff coming out, will you come back on the show and play it for me? And we can talk about it, Brad?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And sometimes you do pick up the bass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great. Right now,
I was glad. Not as much as I used to, but...
That's okay. You didn't abandon it.
Nope.
Beautiful. Love it. Thanks so much for being on the show, Brad. People, it's been April 23, 2021 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.